Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Watermark OC Church Sunday Message. Watermark is a generational community that is crazy passionate about starting a conversation about God, your relationships, and authentic love. If you're interested in getting more information, please click the link in the show notes for next steps. Thanks again for listening. It's our hope and prayer that this message would transform your life.
All right, well, I'm excited to be here in the Watermark living room setting here with Ben, and the word that God's given me is togetherness. I think togetherness, as we look in the Acts 2 community, we see that it was this beautiful gift of togetherness that allowed them to lighten up. And I just would have to say that's so been so powerful for me in this coronavirus experience, because as I said, I've said many times, I'm kind of a heavy-hearted kind of a guy. My gifts are more of pastoral mercy, and so I can really carry the burdens and the weight of the world, and it's not light, it's heavy, and it's real, and there's a part to that we do grieve, and there's tears, but I have a hard time lightening up, and it's the gift of community, it's the gift of having light people, people that have hope, people that have joy in my life, that kind of lift me up, and I think we see that in the Acts 2 community. My wife is one of the great gifts that does that for me, and we have a small group, and she's kind of the chief fun person, the laughter, the lighten up person in the group, and she loves to do these memes. I mean, have you been getting into these memes? I mean, there's so many fun memes where we've taken this, you know, very difficult time, but we've also been able to look at the lighter side of it and make fun of ourselves. I mean, toilet paper, come on, really? And I love that. But here's some of the, she texted these the other day, and I just started laughing. It just helped me lighten up. As the Proverbs say, you know, a cheerful heart is like medicine to the soul. Mm. And just having that person that lightens you up is such a gift. And listen to some of these funny things. Coronavirus lockdown, day 40. This morning I saw a neighbor talking to her cat. It was obvious she thought her cat understood her. I came into my house, told my dog, and we laughed together. Here's another great one. Day 45, homeschooling. One of these little monsters called in a bomb threat.
Sounds like my house.
Yeah. I hope the weather is good tomorrow for my trip to Puerta Vallarta. I'm tired. I'm getting tired of Lost Living Roomia. It's so fun. A classified ad, you know, Corona lockdown, day 40. Single man with toilet paper seeks woman with hand sanitizer for good, clean fun. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. But it's fun to lighten up. It's fun to have people that can walk with you and really help you with the lighter side of your faith. And I look at the early church, Ben, they were incredibly light. And there's this beautiful picture in the book of Acts. Ben did a great job starting off the series. And one of the great gifts of lightness is that God came to be with us in Jesus. But then after his death and the resurrection, he came to dwell in us through the Holy Spirit. And you did such a great job talking about the power of this Pentecost event where the Holy Spirit indwelt his people as a permanent resident. And it suddenly there was a lightness because God was with them in this beautiful way. And I think it really beckons me back to when Jesus talked about with his disciples this easy yoke, the secret of the easy yoke. It was happening in the early church in a new and a profound way. Because Jesus had called his disciples to follow him and to take on his yoke, his way of life, his understanding of the scriptures and the way that God was working, a with God life. And he said, come to me in Matthew 11:33. All you are weary and burdened. Boy, that sounds like our culture right now. That sounds like what the coronavirus has done to us. We are weary and heavy burdened. And Jesus said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, this with God life is a thing that lightens the burden of our life. The burden of struggle, the burden of disaster, the burden of financial ruin, the burden of difficult, hard things in relationships, even death. Jesus came into our life to lighten that burden through the easy yoke of relationship with him, through his grace. And he died. He died a very difficult and hard death on Good Friday. But then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. That was Easter. And then last week on Pentecost Sunday, we celebrated that Pentecost event. He indwelt his people, and suddenly they experienced the easy yoke through the power of the Holy Spirit in their togetherness, in this community of committed faith. That's how we experience the lightness of his life inside of us. And there's a powerful passage in Acts chapter 2. We've got some scriptures we're going to be putting up on the screen. And as we walk through this, there's going to be some fill in the blanks that you can just learn along with us. But Acts 2, 42 through 47 is this beautiful picture of togetherness. This beautiful picture of the early church under the easy yoke of Jesus. And there's this lightness that the presence of God brings into this community. And that's why they're so powerful. That's why there's so much transformation. There's so much hope. There's so much love pouring out of them because they are light through the Spirit of God and their togetherness. Let's read this and look at this together. Acts 2, 42 through 47. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common," everything together. "They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." This incredible community that was light because of the easy yoke of Jesus. I want to give you three powerful points that were not only true in the early church, they're true in our lives today. They're gifts of togetherness, gifts of community that help us lighten up. Ben and I are experiencing that in our staff relationships. We're seeing that in our small groups, in our homes. We're seeing that as we reach out and have prayer times through the phone conversations. You see, a world of social distancing doesn't have to be spiritual distancing. We can still connect, and the Spirit of God is moving in our togetherness, and we are light because of that. Let's look at the early church. Let's learn about some of these great principles that lighten them up and how these principles can apply to our life today. And the first thing that I observed, Ben, is that their hope was alive. The early church had this hope that was living, alive. It was powerful. It was miraculous. Look at what Peter said, one of the apostles in 1 Peter, about this hope. He said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you," for us. You see, we have this living hope because of the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a historical reality. Christianity is based on a historical event. The resurrection, the reality that Jesus rose from the dead and showed himself to his disciples, his hands and his feet, and that transformed them with a hope that he had made a way from death into life. He had made a way into heaven, that they would be with God forever, and their hope was alive. And we see that right in the center of the first century church in Acts 2. They were light, fill this in. They were light through a confident hope. That's what was thriving and pulsing through them. They had this confident hope that made life lighter. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. There was fellowship that made things lighter in their togetherness. They were practicing spiritual disciplines that lighten up the burden of their guilt and their sorrow or their grief, because God was with them and transforming them through his Eucharist, his thankful meal. There was prayer. The power of the Spirit was moving, and it says there were many miraculous signs and wonders. They were light because the miraculous power of God was carrying the burden with them, the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is all coming through the authentic leadership of the apostles. You see, they were the eyewitnesses. They were the ones that saw Jesus. They touched him. They felt with him. They spent time with him. And so their hope was so alive. They were teaching the scriptures. What was the scriptures that they have? Did they have the Bible back then? The New Testament? It wasn't written yet. They were taking the Old Testament scriptures and proclaiming the promises of God that Jesus had fulfilled in their midst. And the people were lighting up and saying, "Oh, it's always been the promises of God that are fulfilled now in Jesus Christ. He is alive. He is the Messiah. And because of that, our hope is alive. Heaven is real. We have a hope and a future." Amen. And so they walk together in this easy yoke, this relationship of prayer, this rhythm of opening the Word of God, this worship togetherness that's happening right now as you're joining us online in this worship experience. God is lightening up because we're together in the Spirit of God. This is the power of what happens when our hope is alive. We can look at this difficult season of darkness through the eyes of hope, and there's this huge silver lining behind the coronavirus, and it's the lining of a resurrected hope. There's nothing that can take your inheritance. There's nothing that can spoil. The coronavirus cannot take the hope of heaven and the fact that God is working in you right now. It cannot take that from you. And that brings a lightness. That brings a zest. That brings a celebration into our soul. Even in the most difficult side, the Holy Spirit was present in their midst, and miracles were happening right then and there, Ben. And guess what? Miracles still happen today, right, Ben?
That's right.
Have you experienced miracles in the last year at Watermark Church?
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone remembers Ronnie. You can go back and find his story that he shared on his baptism Sunday. But yeah, when God breaks in and literally breaks the natural laws, yes, I've been privileged and blessed enough to see a few of those in my life, in my time, seeing a couple people even get healed. You know, even 1% better or 15% better of a lifetime ailment. And that's a great point to next weekend. Next weekend, I'm going to be preaching out of Acts 3, which is the healing of the lame man. So get excited and ready for what God has in that weekend. I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm anticipating learning a lot and growing a lot.
Yeah, and Ben and I are just celebrating because today we've been praying for a beautiful little girl that was born, and she had defects in her ears, and there wasn't any hearing. And her mom and dad were so distraught. And her grandfather asked us to pray for her. Her name's Geneva. And Bob, we're celebrating that this surgery has just come through, and the doctors are calling it a perfect outcome for little Geneva. And there's great hope that her hearing is going to be blessed because of these implants. Absolutely. And it's miraculous. Yes. It's an answer to prayer. God not only uses just a miracle, he uses doctors, and miracles happen there too. And so we believe in the power of prayer. Mm-hmm. God is working in our midst, and he's alive. And that brings us hope. Hope for a better future. We always have great hope because it's not hope in human progress, although that's great. It's not hope in bending the curve. That's great. It's the fact that Jesus broke the curve when he rose from the dead, and we have this living hope, and there's nothing that can take that hope away from us. And so that's what made them light. It was this incredible hope. And one of Ben and our hopes is that we're going to gather again in this space, and the chairs are going to be full, and we're going to see you face to face, and God's going to bring us back together in such a powerful way, and there's going to be new people online, people that are listening. Folks, you listeners out there, we want to invite you to come join us when we gather again and get together face to face. There's something incredible that happens when we can hug again, and we can bless one another and pray together in face-to-face conversations and celebrate and sing songs. Man, that's one of our great hopes, that we're going to be together again.
Yep, you got it. Can't wait.
It's going to be awesome.
Yep.
Well, they were light through hope. And the second thing is that their love was real. Their love was real. And this is what John said, one of the apostles. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete, manifest. It was so powerful in the early church. Their love was real. And so when we look at that Acts 2 passage, here's the second fill-in. They were light through a committed love. They were light, the word commitment. They were light through a committed love. And you know, isn't it so true that when we walk together with friends, with people that love us, it makes the burden-bearing light. And we just talked about that. We're seeing that in our church even today. Here's what it says about the Acts of community. All the believers were together. There's that togetherness again. And they had everything in common, right? Not just common prayers, but common hearts and common possessions. This is not my money. This is not my house. It's a house that's the Lord, and I'm going to give it to serve the needs. This is not my money. It's for the togetherness of this community. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They had a benevolence fund right in the first century church. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They opened up their houses with great hospitality, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. This is the lightness through a committed love. Not just a once a week, 1 hour love where we smile with a Jesus face, but a love that takes us through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day of the week, because we're committed together in the community of faith. It's a powerful thing. They were generous with their wealth, Ben. And just like we talked about, I mean, it's so awesome to see people at Watermark Church giving possessions, giving of their wealth to meet the needs of some of the hurting people in our midst. And it's beautiful to see that. They open their homes, hospitality. I love about some of our small group leaders are opening up their homes and they're using Zoom technology. And so we're having meetings and we're all opening up our homes in a sense because I get to see somebody in their pajamas now in their home and they're looking at me in my pajamas and we're praying together. And it's amazing what God is doing. Actually, we have a video online that we put together. Hope you saw it before the service, but we're going to put the link right now. Go see that video and you'll see some of the testimony of what God's doing through our small groups. Through this Zoom technology, we're gathering and we're sharing hearts and we're lifting each other up with love, and God's doing powerful things.
Right.
There's a young mom who got a vision to help young moms. Young moms are struggling during the season, right? They're in the homes. They're locked down with their husbands. Their husbands are working. There's a lot of pressure on them. Their kids, you know, how do we go out and go to the park and do the things? They can't do that as much. And so this mom started a Zoom group for young moms and brought in some great teaching, and our moms are being lifted up. And it's just a beautiful thing. Ministry is still happening because of the committed love of God's people. We serve one another because God first so much. He's a humble God. He's a servant God. And we see that they were light through a committed love. Just a powerful thing and a powerful testimony. We hope that you'll join us. If you're feeling isolated and alone, we don't want you to feel isolated or alone. We want you to know this church is here for you. We have a prayer ministry. Text us your prayer request. If you have a need, we would love to serve and meet that need. Maybe it's a financial need. We would love to help. We have a benevolence fund. Maybe it's a social need. You're feeling alone in your burdens. We have Zoom small groups. Ben and I can get you committed and connected to a small group where people can hear your story and love you with the committed love of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's a powerful thing for the early church. That's what makes life so light. Mm-hmm. And finally, their gospel was attractive. Wow. In a world of bad news, right? They had good news to share. And boy, do we live in a world of bad news. That's all that comes across our social media many times. The cable news is just bad news of defeat, despair, hopelessness. And they had this good news to share. It was about God's love for all of mankind. It's about God being a loving father that would spare no expense, but would give everything extravagantly, his greatest possession, his only son. John 3:16. This is what Martin Luther, the great reformer, said. This, if you didn't have a Bible and just had one verse, it would be this verse. This is a gospel in a nutshell, he said. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever, that's whosoever. It's not just that the rich or the poor or the black or the white, the Chinese or the Japanese or the Latino, it's whosoever. It's every one of us. The door is open to every man, woman, and child, regardless of your race, creed, color, what you've done or haven't done,
right,
that whosoever would believeth in him, whosoever would trust in his goodness and grace, would not perish but have this gift. See, eternal life is a gift from God. It's not something you have to earn or purchase or qualify for. It is a gift that God wants to give you, and you receive it by faith because of his grace. He's a good, good father. We sing that all the time, and he wants to bless people. And this church knew it. They knew the goodness of God. They knew his forgiveness. They knew his mercy. And they knew his good gifts through the Holy Spirit in their community. And so they just gave back to the community. They just shared courageously and lovingly with their friends,
right,
and neighbors and their coworkers. And that's why their life was so light. This is the last fill-in. They were light through a contagious faith. You know, we have this incredible, contagious coronavirus. What's more contagious than that? A faith. A faith that is real, a faith that is on fire, a faith that wants to infect every heart with the goodness and the grace and the transforming power with God. And that's why the early church exploded in the first century, because their faith was just so real and authentic and so loving, and it just spread like wildfire because it was so authentic. It says here in Acts 2, 46 and 47, praising God. See, that's an authentic faith. They were thankful for all the, they just lived the life of praise and thankfulness. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. They didn't try to ram their faith down people's throats. Mm. They just loved people.
Right.
And it came up in natural conversations. Their faith was contagious because who did they talk about? The most loving thing. Who do you talk about when you're in love? You talk about the one you're in love with. Mm. They were in love with Jesus. They couldn't help but talk about the one that they were in love with. And it was contagious. And so there was favor. There was grace. And the Lord, see, the Lord added to their number. We don't add to our number. The Lord adds to our number. It's his deal. We're just here to be faithful witnesses of the amazing grace that God has given us. And so their lives were very attractive, because there was joy, there was peace, there was this non-anxious presence. They weren't afraid of persecution. They weren't afraid of the famine. They weren't afraid of the financial peril. It was real, yes, but they had faith, and they walked with God in that, and because of that, they could be thankful, and they could be light. And their gospel was inviting. Why is the gospel so inviting? Because of that word grace. There's no other religious system that has the word grace. Oh, grace is a uniquely Christian term. It means unmerited favor. And man, isn't God's grace amazing, Ben? It's the greatest gift.
Yeah, when you experience it, you know, when you receive, or no, the receiving end is the only time that you can really understand the gravity of the once and for all saving grace of Christ on the cross and resurrected for us. It's powerful. I've just been on the receiving end too many times of gracious gifts, unmerited favor, things I did not earn or achieve in order to receive. And every single time that happens, I just think about a present or a gift or a financial gift. And I have received so many in my life from my family of 9, soon to be 10, to be working at a local church, to be on the receiving end of these gifts we've received, to be able to work and live in this county, it's everything. I mean, there's just nothing that even rivals getting a gift that is unmerited by anything that you've done.
Yeah, and all we can do is say thank you.
Right.
All we can do is just fall down and be thankful for this amazing gift and praise God for what he's done for us. Mm-hmm. And that grace says something about the giver. The giver is beautiful. And that's one of the things that Ben and I are so passionate about. We want to make the name of Jesus beautiful again in our culture, in our world. Many times Christians have given the name of Jesus a bad name, but a beautiful bride makes the name of Jesus beautiful. You know, a beautiful bride looks into her bridegroom's face and sees the beauty of that man, and they make that name beautiful. And that's what we want the church to be in our praise, our generosity, our thankfulness. We want to redeem that again, and for Jesus to be beautiful, and his name and his gospel to be heard. And this is a great opportunity time to do that. Just like in the early church, it's a time when things are being shaken. The structures that provide security and safety for us, they're being shaken. The secular salvation schemas, right? What's the secular salvation story? I can do it through my own strength, through my own ingenuity, American individualism. I can become an entrepreneur, and I can create my own album. I can start my own business, a tech business, and I'll become an entrepreneur, a millionaire. I can do this thing on my own and make it happen. And we see the stories that happen to the few people that it happens to. And that's the salvation that America is trying to go to in a secular sense. And yet the coronavirus has shaken all of that and shut that all down. And it shows us, while those things are fun and wonderful, nothing wrong with a dream, nothing wrong with being successful, they don't provide ultimate security and ultimate life to us. Mm-hmm. Only God can do that. Only somebody outside of the system. The God who came to give us grace, who took on skin and share his love for us. And that's the good news, that we have that good, great God, a beautiful, suffering, loving God in our lives. And he offers that to all of us. You know, a contagious faith. I in my community, we tried to do something fun. We tried to have kind of a gathering in our neighborhood, and we were practicing social distancing. We all went out into the street, and everybody stayed 6-8 feet apart, and we all brought some appetizers and some drinks, and we just celebrated an afternoon. We haven't seen anybody for a long time, and so we're talking to each other, and this neighbor that shows up, and they've been living on our street for a year, and I've never met them before.
Wow.
That's how crazy how busy we are in Orange County. Mm-hmm. And because of this corona shutdown, all of a sudden I got a chance to meet a neighbor who lived down the street that I hadn't seen for a year. And all of a sudden conversations happen. And we have common backgrounds in sports. He knows some friends that I know. And all of a sudden, there's this thing, and we're talking, and this person I can realize is not really a person that's attending church right now. Somewhat open, but somewhat skeptical. But through the authentic conversation, I just got to share about my faith and about what I do and about my strengths and about my struggles. And somehow Jesus came through, and I don't know how. I didn't even invite him to church. And all of a sudden, this afternoon, I walk out, and he and his wife have been taking a jog in the neighborhood there across the street. And they said, "Heidi ho, neighbor. Hey, how are you guys doing?" We have a conversation, and we start talking. And they say, "You know what? We really enjoyed meeting you. We'd love to come see you work sometime on Sunday." What? No, come to see me work on Sunday? You want to come to my church? Yeah, we want to come to your church. I didn't invite him. We didn't have this huge theological conversation. But God made a way. Somehow my faith was contagious. And somehow they saw the beauty of Jesus in me, and they're attracted to that. They want to come to Watermark.
So good.
And this is the great opportunity to have this contagious faith. It lightens up. It's not a burden to share your love of Jesus with somebody else. It just comes naturally. And that's the lightness of the early church, right? They had this committed hope, right? They had this love that kept them together, this committed hope, love, and they had a contagious faith. And that brought lightness to them. And this is great things for us. We can do that in our togetherness.
Yep.
Where are you at on your journey today? Ben and I want to pray for you. We don't want you to feel alone, isolated, without hope, without love, without faith. The God of the universe wants you to have that through his community. We want to invite you to Watermark. We want to invite you to continue these online things. If you need a small group, we'd love to get you involved. If you need help, we'd love to share the burden with you. It's all about our togetherness. So why don't we pray together this morning, Ben?
Let's do it.
And let's pray for the folks out there. Hope you can take a next step of commitment and community with us and experience that lightness of the easy yoke. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Lord Jesus, thanks so much for this day. Thanks so much for all the folks out there that have joined us online together. Thank you, even in this difficult season, you're giving us a lightness through your easy yoke. It's our togetherness here. And the power of your Holy Spirit is working in our midst. And Lord, just minister to our hearts. If we're heavy, if we have burdens and struggles and pain and conflict, if there's financial stress, would you bring that easy yoke to every listener, to every person that's connecting online here today? And through your Spirit, would you lighten that right now with peace and joy? Would you draw us to our togetherness? And Lord, give us the courage to take a next step. If we need to get involved in a group, give us the courage to raise our hand and connect, reach out. Give us the courage to pray together with another person if we need to share a burden and to pray. Maybe to get with Ben and I and have a prayer conversation and a prayer session. Give us the courage to reach out and connect with others and not to be alone. And may your Spirit provide that grace that we need to take those steps. We thank you that we're together. We thank you for the easy yoke and the lightness that you give us through your faith, hope, and love. Bless our time. Bless us as we walk together. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that this message has challenged and encouraged you. If you need prayer, would like to join a small group community, or are interested in partnering with our work throughout Costa Mesa and Orange County, please go to watermarkoc.com. We would love to start a conversation.